Hi, this is Dr. Ronald Hoffman. For decades, I've been preaching about the importance of a regimen of basic supplements that everyone should consider part of their daily health routine. So I came up with an easy way for you to get the exact combination of targeted supplements you need to help you follow the intelligent medicine lifestyle. The very same supplements I take myself and prescribe for my patients. Just go to DearHoffmanStore.com and check out my Intelligent Medicine Starter Kit. It's a short list of the basic supplements that I recommend as a starting point for those looking to take control of their health. They're the essential elements of a basic program that everyone could benefit from. And for a limited time, you'll get free shipping on all of your store orders. For more details, just go to DearHoffmanStore.com. That's DearHoffmanStore.com.
Welcome to Intelligent Medicine. I am Layla Mudin. I am a registered dietitian nutritionist. I have a private practice in New York at 330 West 58th Street. I also practice with Dr. Ronald Hoffman on a daily basis. I see all of his medical patients. We work together. If you would like to make an appointment to see me, call the office. 212-779-1744, 212-779-1744. I have patients and clients from all across the country. I do telephone consults. And if you're in the tri-state area, feel free to make an appointment to come in and see me. Welcome to this podcast on Intelligent Medicine. This is a weekly podcast that's usually uploaded on Fridays. And if you want to email me, you know, if you have a question or questions, or if you'd like me to talk about a health topic of interest to you, a health and nutrition topic, the destination for emails is radioprogram@AOL.com. That's radioprogram@AOL.com. And here we are. It is April. I'm looking forward to warmer weather, springtime. We've had some snow so far this month. Anyway, I've got a question here. I've got an email from Jacqueline, and she writes, over the years, occasionally, whenever my B6 and B12 are measured by blood work, I always seem to score high. B12 measured 1625 last time. And two times over the last 13 years, my B6 measured high. I've been taking B12 1000 micrograms for years, mainly to lower homocysteine, which was a 9 and now is an 8.3. That's good for you, Jacqueline. That's good. Have also taken trimethylglycine, TMG, and extrafolate. I've stopped all B vitamins except that which is in my multi. So Jacqueline's question is, can I really rely on ordinary blood tests to truly measure B vitamin levels? In fact, yes. And B vitamins are generally water-soluble vitamins. So there's small chance of toxicity. However, if you've been taking high doses of B vitamins for quite a long time, it can cause maybe some toxicity over time. Now, the fact that your B12 is so high at 1625, that's because you've been taking a supplement. The blood tests are fairly reliable. I know that's why Dr. Hoffman orders them, to look at it that way. When we're looking for B12 deficiency, however, we will also test methylmalonic acid. It's the MMA blood test, methylmalonic acid, to detect if there's a B12 deficiency. What I would say to you, Jacqueline, is just stop taking it, all the Bs, and check your multi. Make sure there aren't, you know, higher doses of Bs than in a typical multi. Generally, a multi will just cover about the RDA, maybe a little bit more. And Jacqueline's second question, I've had numb feet for 13 years, getting somewhat worse in the last 2 years, but never painful or tingling. No medical doctor can figure out why. Okay, first and foremost, I commend you for checking in with a doctor, because that would be my first advice to you, is to go see a doctor. One thinks it might be the high level of B vitamins I've taken for years. Another thinks it could be because my fasting blood glucose is always over 100, but postprandial blood glucose, which means after meal blood glucose, is always 80 to 90. Jacqueline, my question to you is, when you say postprandial, your after meal blood glucose, is it 2 hours after? Is it 1 hour after? Is it a half hour after? Generally, we look at the 2 hour. Jacqueline continues to say, I do eat very low carb and exercise strenuously every other day. Fabulous. No meds, no health problems. I'm 75 years old. Okay. You're pretty healthy 75 if you're able to exercise strenuously every other day. You will never become feeble if you keep that up. That's wonderful, especially if you're doing strength training. You're 75. You're not on any medications. You don't have health problems. Bravo. We all want that for everybody and going forward. Now, a high B12 may cause numbness. Did you know that? You're saying you're not having pain or tingling. That's fine. That's fine. And that's good, actually. But a high B12 may cause numbness. I would really encourage you to stop all the Bs and get tested again in a couple of months to see where your measurement is, how your feet are feeling. And you've had numb feet for 13 years now, exactly 13 years. How long have you been taking the B vitamins? But, however, the fact that you mention that you have an impaired fasting glucose, because it's always over 100, your fasting glucose is over 100, that means impaired fasting glucose, there is some glucose deregulation. And the postprandial that you should check, Jacqueline, should be 2 hours after your dinner and see where that brings you, or your breakfast or your lunch. You're eating very low carb, which is great, which is wonderful. Now, having said that about the impaired fasting glucose, you've heard me mention before on this program that as we get older, blood sugar levels tend to rise. And that's just what happens. However, it's important to look at everything else. There may be a supplement you're taking that may cause higher glucose levels, like glucosamine. If you're taking glucosamine chondroitin for joint health, for arthritis, anything like that, it could be upping your glucose a little bit. If you're taking that, try stopping and then measuring your fasting glucose again after a few weeks of stopping. Let those levels come back down to normal in your blood circulation. That might be something. The other thing is, I'm going to ask you some, you know, your medical doctor can't figure out why you have numb feet. I imagine they've checked your circulation, right? I'm going to ask a stupid question. Are your socks and shoes too tight? I know that's a question a podiatrist may ask you. There's a such thing as wearing socks that are too tight. And that can, of course, decrease or cut off your circulation and cause numbness. Are your shoes too tight? One of the first places to check. But Jacqueline, try stopping all the Bs again and see where that goes. See what that does for you. And the true gold standard for your blood sugar, you could ask your doctor for an oral glucose tolerance challenge, an oral glucose tolerance test, where you come in fasting and you drink a glucose liquid, and then they measure your blood glucose for 2, maybe 3 hours. Typically it's 2 hours they do. The real gold standard is 5 hours, but nobody's really doing that. So they'll measure the first half hour, hour, 2 hours, maybe 3 hours. But a real true glucose tolerance test will measure it up to 5 hours and will measure insulin levels, starting with fasting insulin, which is very important. It could be, Jacqueline, that your postprandial blood glucose, which is pretty good, between 80 and 90, it could be that you're secreting a whole lot of insulin, and that's helping to bring that down, the blood glucose, because that's what insulin does. And the importance of measuring insulin levels during a glucose tolerance test is critical to see if you have hyperinsulinism, hyperinsulinemia. This is the first thing that happens before blood sugar goes really, really high, right? Because that your pancreas is working hard to bring that blood sugar back down to normal. And it could be that excess insulin may be causing some problems, because all that insulin, if this is what's happening, and the only way to check is with blood tests for fasting insulin. A proxy for a fasting insulin is C-peptide. C-peptide is a very good test. And fructosamine. Ask your doctor for those tests. Ask your doctor for the oral glucose challenge, a glucose tolerance test, but also ask that your insulin is measured at the same time that your glucose is measured. Thank you for your question. I hope you'll be able to get to the bottom of this, the numbness in your feet. Thank you for emailing me. Now, I want to go on to talk about artificial sweeteners a little bit. You've heard me write, you've read the articles at drhoffman.com in the Intelligent Medicine newsletter. We've talked about the dangers of low-calorie or artificial sweeteners. So now, get this, here's a headline: low-calorie sweetener boosts fat accumulation in explanted cells. So consumption of low-calorie sweeteners may promote metabolic dysfunction and predispose people to diabetes, particularly in obese individuals. And that's what they're finding out in this in vitro research. In vitro research means done in the lab, in a test tube or a petri dish. Low-calorie sweeteners promote fat accumulation within cells in a dose-dependent fashion, most likely by increasing glucose entry into cells through increased activity of glucose transporters, researchers have reported during a media briefing last month at ENDO 2018, which is the annual meeting of the Endocrine Society in Chicago, where these findings were presented. Dr. Sen of George Washington University in Washington, D.C., and his colleagues tested sucralose, which is Splenda. This is a widely used low-calorie sweetener. Splenda, that's the yellow packet, right? They tested sucralose on stem cells taken from human fat tissue. They placed the stem cells in petri dishes for 12 days in a media that promotes fat production to mimic an environment that promotes obesity. So they added a 0.2 millimolar sucralose, a dose that's similar to the concentration found in the blood of people with high consumption of low-calorie sweeteners. It's equal to about 4 cans of diet soda a day. At this dose, the researchers observed upregulation of genes related to fat production and inflammation. In a separate experiment, they analyzed biopsy samples of abdominal fat obtained from 14 obese and 4 healthy weight adults who used low-calorie sweeteners, mainly sucralose, aka Splenda. In the obese adults, but not the healthy weight adults, they observed increased glucose transport into cells and overexpression of known fat-producing genes compared with fat biopsy samples from adults who did not consume low-calorie sweeteners. So please pay attention to what I just said, and let me repeat this. They observed increased glucose transport into cells and overexpression of known fat-producing genes. The overexpression of the fat-producing genes was upregulated by the ingestion of the low-calorie sweetener. Get it? It's not that you have the gene that causes you to be overfat or to cause this condition. It's that you're living your lifestyle in a way by consuming these low-calorie sweeteners or other sweetened drinks to turn those genes on, causing their overexpression, right? So in the obese individuals, there was a statistically significant increase in genes that control fat formation. Dr. Sen told the briefing, therefore, low-calorie sweeteners seem to be more detrimental in subjects these sweeteners are geared for, obese individuals. We think the effect is more pronounced in overweight and obese people rather than their normal weight counterparts because they have more insulin resistance and may have more glucose in their blood. Dr. Sen and his colleagues say their experiments also suggest that sucralose promotes accumulation of inflammatory reactive oxygen species in cells, oxidation. These oxygen radicals interfere with cell activity and slow down metabolism, which promotes accumulation of fat in the cell. This provides another explanation of how sucralose may interfere with metabolism. So this in vitro analysis suggests that obese patients may be more sensitive to low-calorie sweeteners than non-obese, with changes occurring on a cellular level that may predispose them to metabolic complications. So, this suggests that those with overweight or obesity should avoid low-calorie sweeteners completely. And I will say again, as I've said before, I have lots of clients who are on a low-carb diet, they're doing it perfectly, and they hit a plateau, and they're not able to lose any more weight. And we investigate, and we investigate, and I find that, nope, they're eating right, they're doing it right. So I'm looking for other things that may be going on. Then they finally reveal to me, oh, I'm having, you know, a can of Diet Coke a day, or Diet Ginger Ale, or Crystal Light, or some other low-calorie soft drink. Well, once we have them eliminate that particular soft drink, then voila, that particular plateau has now gone away. Let's talk more about artificial sweeteners. This just in, Science Daily, artificial sweetener could intensify symptoms in those with Crohn's disease. It promotes bad bacteria and intestinal inflammation. So, in a study that has implications for humans with inflammatory diseases, researchers have found that given over a 6-week period, the artificial sweetener sucralose, known by the brand name Splenda, that yellow packet, worsens gut inflammation in mice with Crohn's disease, but had no effect on those without the condition. Crohn's disease is an inflammatory bowel disease of the digestive tract, which can lead to abdominal pain, severe diarrhea, bloody stools, weight loss, and fatigue. And about 10 to 15% of human patients report that sweeteners worsen their disease. The new findings recently published in Inflammatory Bowel Diseases, that's the journal, revealed increases in the numbers of proteobacteria. Proteobacteria, a large phylum group of microbes in the intestines of mice drinking water supplemented with Splenda. Half of the mice studied, belonging to a genetic line that suffers a form of Crohn's disease, were more affected than the remaining half of mice, which belong to a healthy mouse line. Splenda produced intestinal overgrowth of E. coli, which is a member of this proteobacteria group, and increased bacterial penetration into the gut wall in the disease with in the mice with Crohn's disease. The researchers also found that Splenda ingestion results in increased myeloperoxidase activity in the intestines of mice with this inflammatory bowel disease, but not in the healthy mice. Myeloperoxidase is an enzyme in white blood cells in leukocytes that is effective in killing various organisms. So the inference is that the increased presence of E. coli intensified the enzyme activity in the bowel as the body sought to fight off this invader. So the findings suggest that consumption of Splenda may increase myeloperoxidase production only in individuals with a pro-inflammatory predisposition, such as Crohn's disease, or other forms of IBD. And as part of this process, inflammation and its attendant consequences could exacerbate the system, the symptoms of Crohn's disease. So here it is, another reason to stay away from low-calorie sweeteners. So I want to thank you for joining me on another edition of Layla Weighs In, here on the Intelligent Medicine Podcast. This is Layla Mudin, RD. I see patients regularly, along with Dr. Hoffman. If you require a nutrition consult with me but live out of town, there's no need to travel to New York City. I have telephone consultations with clients from all over the country. Please visit drhoffman.com for more information. And to set up an appointment, call 212-779-1744. That's 212-779-1744. I look forward to being a collaborator in your healthcare.